What's up, Karma Nation? Welcome back to our latest episode of The Cash Process with Ben Hostler and myself, Anthony Carson, which is brought to you by our sponsors, MyBookie.today. That's right, you can bet legally in the United States of America at MyBookie.today. If you didn't check out our premiere episode, this is now going on the sixth, basically this starts every Tuesday night and drops generally Tuesday evening, if not Wednesday morning. And we talk about what we did right, what we did wrong from the previous week. And then we shift our focus to this upcoming weekend, basically of our favorite kind of early week look at our kind of potential cash plays. If you find our free content useful, go ahead and subscribe to this channel so you don't miss out on any of our future episodes. The Cash Process comes out, like I said, every Tuesday evening. Ben, it was another amazing week. I'll start off with you. How was your week, Ben? How was it on Fantasy Draft? How was it on DraftKings? And then we'll circle back to my week.
Yeah, I had a really good week. Not so great in tournaments this week, but I won cash games on both sites, so I had an easy profit. I know I went a little bit of a different route than you did in cash on DraftKings. I ended up stacking Matt Stafford and Marvin Jones. And then once the Geronimo Allison news came out, I put in Marquez Valdes-Scantling along with Jones and then used Tyler Boyd so I could jam in James Conner, Christian McCaffrey, and Melvin Gordon all for running backs. And then I used Vance McDonald and the Bengals D. Bengals defense was huge, obviously with the two touchdowns. And they were like 5% owned. I think it really came down for me Sunday morning to Browns, Ravens, and Bengals all. And I didn't really want to use the Ravens on the road, even though they have the best defense, I think, of those three. And then I still, even though I know the Browns defense is good because I'm a Browns fan, I still just really didn't trust them. So I just thought with Perfect coming back and the Dolphins being, you know, most likely going to be trailing. So that's a good opportunity for, you know, sacks or interceptions. I just ended up going with the Bengals and honestly think I ran a little bit hot with them scoring two touchdowns. I think that was a little bit lucky, but I think the play that I keep coming back to was Boyd. I mean, I still think he was a good play, but I think I underestimated Bill Lazor's ability to move AJ Green around. I mean, we saw earlier in the season on that Thursday night game, they moved AJ Green into the slot a lot and he scored three touchdowns there. So I guess I really didn't think about, you know, Green moving into the slot to avoid Xavier Howard enough, and that's what they did. I mean, he played in the slot the most he has all season, and he had a really good game, and that came at the expense of Boyd. So, I mean, I don't think that Boyd was a bad play, but I guess I didn't put enough thought into, you know, thinking that they would move Green, you know, in there enough.
Yeah, but that's really thinking things, I think, too hard. I mean, I think that's the right approach. I was heavily considering him potentially in FanDuel, didn't end up going that route, but yeah, it was another good week. It's just funny, we come on here and like we talk in the live stream Sunday at 11 o'clock, and I think there's only been one week now, we're going on to week six, where you and I actually ended up on the same lineup. And you know,
it was the week we lost too.
It was the week we lost. Unbelievable. Like, now we know never to go down the same path. It's a dark path. But you know, first and foremost for me, thanks for getting me more on the fantasy draft. I mean, you've been pushing that to the metal, you know, honestly, this whole season, and I've kind of neglected it a bit. You know, you don't focus on FanDuel as much. I'm a big FanDuel player as well as DraftKings. I really probably wait double, if not triple, on DraftKings compared to FanDuel, but I still enjoy FanDuel, in full disclosure. But with that being said, this week in specific, I did dabble more into fantasy draft as well, and I just forget that utilizing essentially four flex positions is just advantageous to anybody like us who are completely grinding, you know. So it was a fun win. Got the bankroll up there a bit. And then on DraftKings, you know, if anyone hasn't already seen, I had a really good week at DFS Karma. It was one of my best weeks I've ever had in NFL DFS, that's for sure. And it, again, you know, I talked about it. I do a lineup review, guys, if you don't already know. It's on YouTube. If you just search, it's probably under DFS Karma, AC's week 5 lineup review breakdown. You know, if you're a subscriber to us, or to just our free content at dfskarma.com. It went out in our weekly Monday review email. Ben's got his takeaways and my lineup videos in there. But I went down and I broke down my entire lineup. You know, some things I did wrong was, I guess, Derek Carr, but that was really an attrition of my overall roster construction, Ben. And I think you kind of saw, you know, it was like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock when I sent you the text. I was like, dude, I need like a 30-point burger from Carr, which wasn't out of the question. And I was on takedown mode with my cash game. And, you know, it was fun. I mean, I hit for like 24, 25K. And at the end of the day, it just goes to show you that cash lineups can take down tournaments too, right? We've had several questions in our Slack chat channel. You know, how can you make this much on cash games? Well, the answer is you build up the bankroll and you take shots at times. I mean, I don't always take shots. I did take some shots in some single entry tournaments this week, and it paid off fruitful. You know, and like we always say, I talk about it on my lineup review breakdown. Personally, if you're playing cash games, you should probably try to play as many heads up as you can. And then if you go to the 50-50 section on DraftKings, if you scroll all the way to the bottom, there's a bunch of like hidden 100-man or 200-man 50-50s. And then also DraftKings does this, and it's amazing. FanDuel doesn't do it, obviously, but they have the single entry double ups. And I know Ben loves those. I see him in those. I'm in those. I play essentially almost all of them. So that was my week. I talked about a couple of things again, process wise. It just, I kind of hit the nuts. You know, you and I both ended on Cincy, I think, for the same reason. We talked about it on the live stream. You know, some people were asking, how did I end up on the Bengals? And it was kind of on roster construction. I did want the Ravens. And yeah, of course, I had a little bias with, you know, being a Browns fan and not wanting to play them. But I never make decisions based off that. But I like the line movement late in the day. And you and I were on the live stream. We were like, wait a second, look at this line movement towards the Bengals. And that isn't always truly predictive on the actual outcome. And yes, we did run hot, but I don't care. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes we deserve to run hot. And we'll take the two touchdowns. Sanu was really low owned, Ben, in cash games and DraftKings. Was really shocked by that, honestly. He was like 12% owned. And then Stefan Diggs, I got to give you a shout out for that. You know, I was on Diggs. You know, Bales wrote him up in his article at our website, and he just didn't fit my overall roster construction earlier in the week. But while we were talking on the live stream, you know, the more you were talking about him on Jalen Mills, man, I just went hardcore onto him. I got the same core you did with CMC, Connor. We talked all week in Slack chat. Like, Connor was just the lock of locks. And then Melvin Gordon. So that was my nucleus. Turned out great. But let's flip the calendar. It's week six. We're going to try to get to 5-1 on DraftKings. You guys know the drill. We basically talk DraftKings pricing. We'll talk FanDuel Sunday morning with you guys, but this is a DraftKings podcast for the most part. I have not looked at absolutely anything. I kind of took a look at Vegas right before we got on here. It's Tuesday afternoon. Let's jump into this, Ben. Let's look at quarterback. There's somebody in specific that I'm just going to toss you a question because he immediately jumps off the page to me, and that's Jameis Winston. I don't want to say, can we trust him in cash games, but is that somebody that you're at least highly considering? I mean, there's got to admit, DraftKings has done a great job pricing this year. There's just so many options. I mean, to me, it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb against Atlanta in a 57.5-point total in a dome. Is that probably your early look cash game quarterback of the week?
Yeah, and the two guys that I was focusing on early are Jared Goff and Jameis Winston, like you said. I mean, the Falcons' defense is just so banged up. They have no ability to stop anyone. So, I mean, even though I'm not really super confident in Winston, I am super confident in the matchup. And he's, you know, under 6K. So even, you know, if the Falcons, you know, jump out to, you know, an early lead, you know, you'll have garbage time and he should be able to rack up some stats against that defense. So I'd be fine. And then Goff for 200 more, I really like, but we don't know, you know, if Kupp or Cooks are going to play. So if there was a scenario where both of them didn't play, that would push me off him in cash games, but I would still like him in tournaments. But I mean, this Broncos defense has struggled this year a lot. And I mean, I know they got absolutely gashed on the ground on Sunday by the Jets, but I mean, I think they're more of a pass funnel defense than they are a run funnel. And I'm not really, you know, really scared. I mean, like Robbie Anderson hasn't done anything all year, and he just absolutely just dusted the Broncos secondary. So If we get like one of Cooks or Kupp or both of them playing, I do really like Jared Goff at 6K.
Yeah, another guy that I'm actually considering is probably both quarterbacks in that Pittsburgh game. But as of this second, you know, it's so early in the week to look at weather and stuff. You know, a lean dome game all day. And the Bucs are coming off a bye, so they've had literally 2 weeks to prepare for this. I really like, you know, potentially even putting money on the Buccaneers to cover the spread, by the way, too. You know, I like when teams have that kind of amount of time to put in some specific plans. So I like the Bucs a lot, and I think we'll be talking about them a lot here. Let's move to running back. Before we talk about anything running back-wise, Ben, just real quick, let's just address this running back situation in Tampa, because as we know, it's very fruitful to target this Atlanta intermediate pass game, just because the way they funnel their defense, they essentially run like a cover three for the most part. I mean, everybody knows this, play pass catching backs against Atlanta. Tampa Bay kind of has like this, you know, stinky backfield. I don't even know how to describe it. Like, can you?
No, it's bad. It's really bad, especially with, you know, they reached for Ronald Jones in the draft, and he hasn't, you know, he's only been active for one game, and he's been a healthy scratch for the other one. So I mean, I really don't think you could trust anyone in this backfield at the moment.
Yeah, this is going to be what, the Peyton Barber troll two touchdown catch game, like, yeah. Or just Quiz Rogers, like, you know what's happening. But
yeah, they have very... three guys, and just you just really can't trust them.
Too hard to trust or cash. I agree. But again, I wanted to address it because I think that a lot of people are watching our podcast weekly, and you know, if we didn't address it, we'd get questions. Okay, yeah. So let's get to the other, before we kind of talk about some potential opportunities in cash games, let's address the other monkey in the room. Todd Gurley is five figures. I mean, just talk to me, Ben. I mean, what are we doing with Todd Gurley?
Yeah, I mean, I think like Gurley or no Gurley is pretty much the question of this slate. It reminds me a lot of week four, where there's a few really attractive DFS games, and the rest of them, you know, the attractive games are not on the main slate. Like Chiefs Patriots isn't on the main slate. You know, the Eagles aren't on the main slate. The Vikings aren't on the main slate. You know, the Monday night game is the Packers. So we have like a few really good games, and then a lot of just kind of average fantasy games. So I think like it's weird to say that you want to spend 10K in a running back, but at the same time, we did just play Kamara 2 weeks ago at whatever he was, like 9,600. So I think you can fit him if you want. I just think that you're probably going to need the 2K that you can get to drop down to McCaffrey or Gordon. But I will say, I mean, we saw what Isaiah freaking Crowell did to this Denver defense last week. So obviously, I don't think Gurley's going to have a bad game. But the ceiling is kind of priced out at 10K. Like, he's going to get you 20 to 25, 30, 35. But that's not a ceiling at that price. But I will say if one or two of those wideouts are out in Kupp or Cooks, that should boost him even more, and that would make it even more of a question for me. But as of right now, I think I would rather drop down to like McCaffrey or Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, I think my heart ultimately, by the time, you know, the week goes on and Sunday comes around, I think that that's the type of play I'm probably going to make. For purposes of this podcast, I'm going to try to make, I guess, a pseudo lineup maybe with Gurley and kind of see what happens. But I just think it's honestly going to be pretty impossible this week. If you look back at his game logs, just his last four or five games alone, you know, essentially he'd be barely hitting value if he was theoretically $10,000. So it really is tough in cash games, but I think it's an amazing tournament pivot. I mean, dude, last week he was only owned at like 13% across the board in cash games and tournaments. It was really surprising on DraftKings. So that's something to kind of monitor as well. And I am going back and looking. I mean, I guess he has been in the mid nine, so this is like his first major jump. Talk to me about like then the next level. The only really person we talked off air is we always get a little juice of Browns in our venom before these podcasts. You know, in full disclosure, I think early on in the week, and I think I am going to go with my gut and I probably will stick with it, I don't think I'm playing Melvin Gordon this week. You know, if I'm pivoting off Gurley, I'm probably going to go elsewhere. This Browns defense, we talked about it last year and they're better this year, which is even more ironic, but they're good. They're hashtag really good. So good luck to everybody that takes that. trap this week. I think Melvin Gordon's a freaking trap in cash games because I think people will look into the stats, but then they'll go, oh, but it's Cleveland, you know, like it's still the Browns, you know, like they'll ultimately play Gordon over Gurley and then they'll go from there. What are your thoughts on that? I know you might think a little different than me, but I can assure you I probably won't go Melvin Gordon this week in cash games.
Yeah, I think I'm still fine with Gordon just because of the like amount of volume he's been seeing. But, I mean, I agree that the matchup isn't super strong. McCaffrey I really like just because, I mean, like he's just routinely getting 20-plus touches. So you're going to get like pretty much, you know, the same workload as Gurley, but he's, you know, 8,300 instead of 10K. And I just really like the way that he's been used this season. So I do like McCaffrey as well. Connor, probably not someone that I'll want to play, you know, at 77 on the road against Cincy with perfect back. Mixon, I think, is a little bit more interesting at 7,500. I mean, he wasn't limited whatsoever, and he caught a touchdown. I mean, we know, you know, dating back to preseason, he's going to be a little bit more involved in the passing game, and I'm really not super scared of the Steelers defense. And then Zeke Elliott, man, 7K. I know it's against Jacksonville, but he saw another 7 targets on Sunday night. I do think that's interesting. Maybe not for cash, but 7K for that discount on Zeke is very interesting to me.
Yeah, when I took a look at pricing, Mixon was the first guy that stood out to me. And it more or less is a combination of price, usage, snap rate, and there's no geo. So, you know, if I'm not going that girly route, I probably, you know, it's early. It's Tuesday. You know, I'll have to evaluate the CMC role against Washington. You know, obviously, I think that he's always in consideration and he, quote unquote, kind of burned people by not hitting value this week. So I think he's another stepping stone if you don't go with Gurley. But I really like Mixon a lot. I guess my quick 2 cents on Zeke is I will admit 7K is enticing. But when you look at the Vegas total, Ben, of 41, and money's already coming in on the under, it's Jacksonville. They were actually worse last year against the rush. It looks like they vastly improved that a bit with some free agent signings of this offseason. I don't know, man. I don't know if I can fall for that trap. I think the one person I would probably rather play is just TJ Yeldon right there. I know Dallas has actually been somewhat has a better front, but this year, but I mean, for $600 less, I mean, Yeldon's getting all the snaps, right? Like he literally is the guy. Like, I mean, they signed Jamal Charles, but talk to me about Yeldon real quick.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to read and see really how they anticipate Charles to be used, but I mean, Charles wasn't even on a team, you know, and he's going to have a, you know, a short week going into this game. So you're really not going to sell me on Charles being heavily involved on Sunday. And without Corey Grant, Yeldon's going to get, you know, all of really, you know, the targets. I do think he really benefited from the game flow last game with the Chiefs just jumping out to that early lead. So Bortles is just doing the classic Bortles like garbage time routine of throwing and racking up stats. But I do really, really like Yeldon at his price, just with, you know, the amount of passing game usage he can get. And, you know, hopefully, you know, Sean Lee doesn't play, but we'll wait and see. But I mean, he's not going to see 10 targets again, but you know, 6 to 7 is definitely in his range of outcomes.
Yeah, I like him. And then one other player that I am going to highly consider for cash games, and it is not matchup dependent. It is strictly price point. That's David Johnson. He's 5,900. I mean, wow. I know, Ben, I know you're going to tell me you can't, but I mean, sometimes, you know, this is the golf setup. I've talked about this a couple times this year. I'm a big DFS golf player in DraftKings, and this just screams value. Your thoughts, quick thoughts on David Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I almost played him last week, but I didn't. And he had a good game, you know, 2 touchdowns, 21 fantasy points. But that's what I told you exactly before we got on here. Like, he had 21 fantasy points on DraftKings, and that was with 2 touchdowns. So, if you know, if he doesn't score 2 touchdowns, he has a really disappointing day. And he still only saw 3 targets. So he's still not being used properly, even though he scored 2 touchdowns. And it's just really hard for me to trust him. I know the Vikings defense hasn't been that good, but I mean, the Cardinals are still on the road. And if he's not going to get, you know, the amount of passing game usage that he should, like his price is reflective of kind of what it should be. The other cheap guy I do think is semi-interesting is Nyheim Hines from the Colts. I mean, I really liked him. When the Colts drafted him, he's really good, out of the backfield. He had some fumble issues in the preseason, but he's been playing. I mean, if you look at his last two games, 11 targets and 9 targets. That fits perfectly with how the Colts are scheming their offense with, Luck throwing, short passes. And I mean, there is like they're not favored in this game. The Jets are favored, so they should be throwing. And Luck has put up a couple nice games. So if Hines is going to see like 8+ targets, I think he is interesting at 5,100 on DK.
That's a good call. I mean, that total's a little higher than I thought it would be. It's nothing crazy at all. But the fact that he's seen that many targets at 5,100, if you really want to go with a Gurley route, that might be the guy that unlocks it. But still, I just have a hard time not just finding the other 800 to get up to David Johnson. I think that about does it for running back.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some other value that unlocks. I mean, I guess Chris Carson, dude. I mean, 200-yard games in a row, he's 4,400. It's kind of hard to overlook that, but I guess we'll talk more about that later in the week. Let's head to wide receiver. What sticks out to you up top then? And then we'll kind of get into some value plays.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, like Antonio Brown, Adam Thielen, Mike Evans, AJ Green, like these are guys that we want to play, Julio Jones even. Like these are all guys that we want to play. I'm not sure, like you said, if you go the Gurley route, I'm not sure if you'll be able to get one of them. I mean, ideally, if we're playing Winston, Mike Evans obviously would be an ideal stacking partner with him, and then Julio Jones in that game. I mean, he's at home. I mean, how much money have you invested in Julio Jones in the last like 2 years, dude?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. So I mean, the matchup against the Bucs is super good, dude. Julio got shut down by Joe Hayden.
Yeah,
And
Joe Hayden looked good, man. So I'm
But
downgrading AJ Green a bit, to be honest.
like if they let Hayden shadow AJ Green, that definitely affects. But they really hadn't been using Hayden as a shadow guy, since they traded for him from the Browns. So I was super surprised that they let him follow around Julio, like even into the slot. And I mean, he shut him down. But I mean, the matchup against the like the Bucs have nobody that will shut down Julio Jones, dude. Like, come on.
Totally agree. I mean, I'm gonna quadruple down on Julio this week. He's only 7,900. I mean, I have to. There's no way that this guy. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of out of words for him. Mike Evans and Julio just stick off the page for me. Those are the two main guys, and I'm paying up over top. Keenan Allen, I'm somebody I'm gonna be highly interested in. I think that's gonna be more of a GPP play because he still has not really been performing like in years past. I think it's there and I think it's coming. And the Browns, there's one thing that we know about our Browns is they love to just give up that slot. Whatever the slot's going to do, they don't care who it is. They're going to let you have those short to intermediate throws. And that's where Keenan Allen lives. So I love that play this week. Like if I saw a sharp guy playing Keenan Allen in cash games and that's what he needed to make his lineup work, I'd be like, hats off to him. That's a sharp play. At this very moment, I probably would try to get up to Julio or Mike Evans.
Yeah.
What's
Allen's,
that?
that's actually who I was going to mention. I think he's a really good play. I mean, like you said, the Browns scheme their defense for everything over the middle and like in the short areas, and that's exactly what Keenan Allen does. I mean, he's not a really like a deep threat. That's more of like the Mike Williams, Tyrell Williams, Travis Benjamin, if he's active. Like they want to, feed Keenan in the short routes, and that's exactly what the Browns defense gives up. So this is probably the week that he could get loose, and it wouldn't surprise me if he takes one of those to the house. But he's right there with Robert Woods at 6,900. I mean, if we got the situation where Cooks and Kupp were both out, like you would have a hard time convincing me that Woods wouldn't have just like a huge game at 6,900.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is I think a lot of the public's going to become more aware of it, not only this week, but as time progresses. But the Rams are getting gashed on defense, dude. Like, they're
Yeah,
not,
I mean their defense is predicated on like outside corner play,
Right.
and
And
Talib
they're done.
out, and Peters is hurt. Like even if he's playing, he's not 100%.
It is pretty crazy, though, when you actually look at it, and it's just like, okay, like, the Rams have to push the pedal to the metal. And even the Broncos, like, the Broncos have talent. They can score. So I can see this game shooting out a bit, which doesn't look like it, like when you first just take a quick glance. I mean, that's why we do these things. It's Tuesday, we're just taking a quick glance and then we're moving on. let's drop down a little bit to like the mid tier, and then we'll kind of look for some value. Not to keep drinking the Kool-Aid, but dude, Hollywood Higgins is out most likely this week. Jarvis Landry is now down to 6,600. He's in the slot, and the Chargers are similar to their defensive scheme, is what the Browns run, and they actually have kind of like a gaping hole in that like slot area. So I think Landry is a really good play this week, like a really good play. If he doesn't make my main roster, my main optimal lineup, he'll be in like my main GPP, no doubt.
Yeah, I agree. I like that a lot. I think Callaway is interesting in his price too, but I mean, for the amount of volume that Landry will see now that his price is a little bit more reasonable, I do like Landry.
Anyone that you're looking kind of like in as we head into down to this, I guess, well, Tyler Boyd, there's no reason to talk about him or Ridley right now. DeSean Jackson, none of these guys are really kind of cash playable. Let's kind of head down below. Is there anyone else that you really saw at first glance early in the week that you deem valuable enough to play in cash games as we enter like 5K and below, which is always in a very important tier in making like your optimal build in DraftKings?
Yeah, I think there's some really interesting cheap options. Starting off with Kiki Kuti from the Texans against the Bills. I know that's not really an attractive game, like we saw with the Titans Bills last week, but the Bills were at home, and I guess I underrated that because we talk about that all the time, like teams traveling to Buffalo, like weird shit happens in Buffalo. But this game's in Houston, and if you look at Kuti, I mean, he saw 15 targets in his first game against the Colts, 7 targets last week. If he gets 6 to 7 targets at 4,600 against, the Bills, just he's not gonna be, DeAndre Hopkins is gonna see Tre'Davious White. So he's not gonna be on White and he's gonna see that amount of volume. I'm fine with him at 4,600. Josh Reynolds, if we got like both of those Rams receivers out, I think is interesting. At 3,900, probably wouldn't be like a massive volume guy, but I mean, they're going to have to use him. And if there's one thing I'm pretty confident in McVay being able to use like pretty much anybody that they plug in there. And then the other guy would just be Courtland Sutton's 3,500 on DraftKings. He, caught a touchdown last week. Only saw 6 targets, but one of them was the touchdown, only 18 yards. But we just said that, the Rams have been getting gashed. And without their outside corners, I think Sutton has a really good matchup on the outside now that the Rams are so banged up.
Dude, we are going to be talking about Courtland Sutton, I feel like, for like a decade.
Yeah, he's going to be a stud.
He's so good. I think, played him in my second week. I don't know if it was a cash game, but it was in one of my main GPPs. But he had an amazing touchdown. I think it was last week, right? And then
Yeah, last week, yeah.
he almost corralled a second one-handed in the back of the end zone. You just wish we saw more yardage out of him. You're right. But it's not the worst punt in the world, especially we got to monitor weather. Like, I saw there was a potential report of snow this week in Denver, which is weird because literally I'm sweating my balls off right now in Cleveland,
Yeah.
Ohio in mid-October. It's like 94 degrees here today. Somebody should tell Trump that global warming is real because I don't know. It's like happening. By the way, I would love to win with Kiki and just sing the freaking Drake song all day with him.
know,
That's a
dude.
great call.
I
You
know.
would just be humming that into Sunday night if you had a really good day. I like that call a lot. I think that kind of does it. Oh, you know what? The one person we didn't mention, and I probably, if I don't go Julio, because let's be real, like he's going to go off if I don't play him. If I play him, he's not. Like, we know this. Mohamed Sanu has another amazing matchup, and you and I talked about this last week on the podcast. I remember, and I ended up playing him in my main lineup. Ben, he was 4,000 last week. He's only 4,800 this week, so you get exposure to that high scoring game. He actually has like the nut matchup in the middle of the field there. I don't know why, but he was only 9 or 10% owned on DraftKings cash games. It was shocking.
People
I
don't
can
know
see.
he's good, dude.
I know he's like a beat dude. He's just like a big body
I've said this
man.
since week one, dude. When they put him in the slot, no one can defend him because
Yeah.
he's huge, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I just love the call. So, I mean, honestly, I'm deleting Julio right now from my main lineup, my early Tuesday lineup, and putting Sanu in there. So that's somebody that I'll probably be looking at. And I think that kind of does it for the early week values at wide receiver. Let's jump to tight end. Tight end is whacked this week, to say the least. I mean, Eric Ebron is your highest priced tight end on the board at 5,400. I kind of have my number one play on the board. I want Ben to go first. And for the record, we have not talked about this. I'm just curious to see if we come on the same person.
Yeah, I mean, early on, the two I were really focused on is David Njoku at 3,800 and Cameron Brate at 3,700. Brate gets a bump up with OJ Howard, you know, out for this game. And he would, you know, fit if we were going to play Winston, especially against the Falcons, who are just really bad in the middle of the field. And then Njoku, season high 11 targets last week. I wrote about him in my takeaways. Like, he has been brought to life by Baker Mayfield. And if he could just be even like remotely efficient in terms of catching his targets, like, this dude could be a monster. And I think I'm going to say that this is the week that he gets in the end zone.
Yeah, I think nail on the head there with Brate. I think he's going to be even more chalky than Vance McDonald this week. I don't see how he's not the chalkiest play on the board. I have a little disagreement with you on the Njoku. I totally agree on the talent, the targets, and all that, but I talked about it last week. I did not want to play Jared Cook last week, and I stayed away from him in all formats just based off the numbers. The Chargers are completely dominating. I'm just looking at the charts at DFSKarma.com, guys. They're number one, really, in every metric covering the tight end. And I start to bake data more and more as the season goes on. I mean, we're moving on to week six now. So I really like the Cameron Brate play. And that's probably most likely where I'm going to end up. Although I do like Austin Hooper as well. You know, if I absolutely love a lineup and I need a punt in the flex, I won't hesitate. You know, if I really wanted Gurley for some reason, if all the receivers were out and I just felt like that was the optimal route, who knows? Maybe I play like a Hooper in the flex. I almost played him on my main lineup last week. That probably would have won me all the monies, but I ended up getting sucked into the chalk. So I think we're on the same page there. Defense, I mean, I don't know, Ben. We never really talk about defense on a Tuesday, but the moral of the story for Ben and I, we generally pay down as often as possible. I don't know, Ben. Is anyone sticking out to you early in the week? I mean, maybe Buffalo at 22 if you need money.
Yeah, Ravens against the Titans are interesting at 28, though, but they're on the road, so that kind of knocks it. Panthers against Washington, I know they're on the road, but, you know, that's kind of interesting. I don't know. I generally don't want to spend more than, like, 3K. Rams at 31, I know they're in Denver, and we just talked about how bad they've been, but, dude, Case Keenum looks like dust, dude.
By the way, for the record, I kind of have an okay lineup with Gurley in it right now. I mean, for what it's worth. So it's kind of signified around Hines, but we'll see. You know what I mean? That's not somebody I would ever envision playing cash games, but it's Tuesday, right? That's why we do this. It's fun. We hope you guys had a great time today. We'll be here every week with you guys the rest of the season. We hope it's informative. You can find Ben's, myself, all the other analysts from DFS Karma, their content at dfskarma.com. Obviously, we totally would appreciate and love if you can give us a thumbs up. If you're listening to us on iTunes, if you can give us a review, a good rating, that's always appreciated as well. And thank you once again to our sponsor, mybookie.today. Check them out. Thanks, guys. We'll be back next week. Peace.